Well, welcome to the Repos non-league show, and we're back again this week for the next well 55 hours an hour, and really pleased to say that joining us today for the very first time on the show, we've got the CEO of well a side that is well flying at the minute in Sporting United in Lee Poy. So welcome, Lee.
Thank you very much for having me.
And of course, we're returning to the show, a good friend of the show as well, of course, Liam O'Neill. Great to have you on, Liam.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me on.
So, I mean, I always sort of start all these shows off nowadays and just asking if you've seen anything yourself, this week that's sort of taken your eye in non-league football. I suppose one of the things was the guy, was it from the Welsh side, that elbowing in the geezer at the penalty? I mean, have you seen that?
Yeah, Leo, do you want to go first, Leo, or do you want to?
Yeah, I don't think you could miss it, could you? I think it was all over social. I think it's one of those things in this day and age where it gets picked up and everyone jumps on it. And I'm not condoning it by any stretch of the imagination, but sometimes it's nice to get some of the context and see what it was. But yeah, I mean, it looked horrific. It looked cowardly. It looked like something that quite rightly so, you don't want anywhere near the game of football because there could have been some serious injury caused there. But yeah, it looked horrific, didn't it?
It did, yeah. What do you
Yeah,
think, Liam?
I think you're right what you say, Lee, about taking into context and like you say, there's no room for it in the game. But we were talking about it today at in the office, and what's gone on before that is not really been spoken about. There must have been something in my mind that has triggered that. And I don't know, who knows what it is, but I'm sure it'll come out in the wash. But yeah, no matter what's gone on the pitch, we've all been there, and there's loads of little things that go on in the game. But to resort to that kind of, whether it's retribution or whatever, resort to that type of action is just, well, it's criminal, isn't it? And I think it's been sort of made. Well, I think the police, they arrested him today. I think have
Yeah,
they?
I think they have, yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, there's no room for it in anything. I mean, like I read today, they're saying that if that had been on the street on a night out, they're going to be arrested, and they'll probably be done for ABH. So, why should it be any different on the football pitch?
It just looked horrific, didn't it, from the clip you get to see.
Yeah, and I think in this day and age, when you watch live TV on the like Sky games, you wonder how players think they're going to get away with things when there's cameras all over the place. And I think especially in this day and age, when you do something like that, you're probably going to get caught. Everyone seems to have a VO system at the moment now, catching everything in a game. So never condone that, and it's absolutely horrific. But it just make you wonder what goes through someone's mind when they do that, and think they're going to be able to walk off the pitch at 90 minutes, and there'd be no ramifications for it.
I mean, have you guys seen anything like that, live at any of your games you've been at? I mean, not necessarily as bad as that, but anything you've seen people do
I
that?
mean, yeah, there's always things that go on off the ball, and that, like Lee just said, they're magnified obviously now on at the top levels with the VAR system. But there's always little things that go on off the ball in games. But come on, that's just taking it to a whole new level. You don't really see that. I mean, when I first started playing, yeah, you'd have a centre half that'd give you a good wallop off the ball and them sort of things. But you'd never. It wasn't meant with any kind of malice. It was almost just like, you know what, mate, I'm gonna let you know I'm here. I'm marking you or whatever, and I'm gonna let you know you're here. You can have one around the side of the head or something like that. But it was never, I'm going out to brutally attack you, which quite clearly, when you watch that back, that's a brutal attack. And I don't think I've seen some awful challenges, and I've been on the end of a few myself, really bad ones. But to see that, and I think Lee mentioned it about the social media nowadays. That once social media gets hold of that, it's all over the place. And it's not just, the grown-ups will take it as, that's bodily harm, actual bodily harm, whatever. But it's the kids that see that, and that's the thing that now turns it and takes it to another level, is because young people will see that, and they might have laugh about it, they might have an opinion on it. But for me, that is just like giving the totally wrong impression of what is a brilliant sport. And like, you see fisticuffs and that sort of stuff, but that's like a brutal assault. And like we've said a moment ago, there's no room for that anywhere in our game. And I hope he's and dealt with accordingly by the authorities, and also by the footballing authorities, because in my mind, he should never play football ever again.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I mean, Lee, if we start with you and Spalding, I mean, beginning of the season, I mean, did quite well again, last season as well. I mean, were you expecting to be where you are at the minute?
I think so, yeah. I think the season didn't start for us ideal last season, and we made an early decision to change the manager, which in any circumstance will always divide opinion. But we obviously had an opportunity to bring Jimmy in following that, and yeah, we had a lot of time for Jimmy, and we thought he could be the right person. He's got a great relationship with our chairman, which everyone knows is really important. They work really well together. They share a lot of opinions. They can have healthy conversations, and I think the combination between a good manager working with a good chairman, you knew that if it clicked, we could possibly do what we've done. And look, we've scored a lot of goals. 74 goals in the league is a lot to score in this time. I think we're one of the few teams in the pyramid that scored in every game this season. And if we hadn't have maybe dropped a few silly points, we might have had a little bit more of a cushion than we've got. We've got Harbour breathing down our neck, and they're a good side, and we did really well to get a result against them a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, no, look, so far I can be very confident and arrogant and say it's going to plan. Football never goes to plan, does it? But I think Jimmy's got a good budget. He's a very good manager. We've got a great chairman backing us that's put some unbelievable infrastructure in for the club. So I think we'd have all been under pressure from the chairman if we hadn't have been somewhere near the top of the league, put it that way.
I mean, it's, as you said, there's some big names underneath you. There's some big money underneath you as well. I mean, you look at that and you see yourselves like, as you said, sitting top 27, 60 points. Harbour have got three games in hand, 24 with 54. Howells Owen are in there on 42. So there's quite a bit of a gap there. But you've also got Real Bedford at the bottom and they're sitting in fifth. They've got five games in hand as well. But it'd still leave, what, 4 points behind you?
Yeah, look, it's a tough league, really tough league. Some really, really good teams are there. You've only got to go to Howells Owen and see the gates they get and the support they get, and how they've consistently performed. And a great club, like you say, Real Bedford are spending a lot, as we are and Harbour are. But being involved in football over the years, kind of full time and part time, it doesn't always guarantee success. So you've got to have good people around you, and you've got to know how to spend the money. So I think lots of clubs have had big budgets and not spent it wisely and not had the success. So for us, hopefully, we have that kind of mix of business and football knowledge, and everyone brings their own little bit of piece to the jigsaw, and hopefully it's paying off. But look, it's roll out the adages game after game, take it each time, blah blah blah. But that's what we're doing. We're just trying to do the best we can. And whilst we left it very, very late on Saturday, it was nice to keep doing what we're doing.
I mean, with it as well. I mean, you've got a nice trip to. I think one of the grounds, though, that you've got. I think you might still have to go to is you've got to go to. You've got to go to Worcester. I mean, that's going to be a, that seems to be like a. How can you put it? That ground seems to be sort
Yeah.
of one that sort of sticks out more than anything else, doesn't it?
It's a bit like when we went to Telford last year. I mean, that's unbelievable. And like we have a healthy away support in our average home gate's about 600, and we can sometimes take, I think, about 200 on Saturday. But when you go to somewhere like Worcester and Telford, we're rattling around a little bit in the away end, so it's a bit of an anomaly. But yeah, look, you look at the stadium, you look at the setup they've got there, and it's great. It's one of our last games of the season, so let's hope we go there and we've got something to play for or to celebrate, because it'll be a lovely place to enjoy a day out.
Well, if you want a bit of a laugh, when Craig does come on, just ask him and just say to him, "I hear you, your favourite ground is Telford," because
Yeah.
you might get given the story. Quite funny. But he's quite funny. But I mean, you've got a couple of home games coming up now, though. You've got Banbury and Bishop Stortford to come up. I mean, a club that's quite close to where I am at in Bishop Stortford. Then Sudbury away, Alba Church at home as well.
Yeah, again, I think it's, like I said, we've been this is our, obviously we got promoted and just missed out on the playoffs, and this season we've just noticed there's no easy game, and it's another cliche being thrown out there. But you look at some of the teams we play against, and Bishop Stortford had a great start to the season, and Sudbury is again a tough team to play against, and we got absolutely done over in Banbury at the start of the season. So we need to try and put that right. But that just shows you when you're not on your game in this league. And as it showed on Saturday, we were 3-1 down with 5 minutes to go, and we well and truly got outplayed to a certain extent in elements of the game, but luckily pulled it round. But yeah, look, we've got we've got a tough run in. We've got to be on it. And look, Jimmy's a great manager. He can motivate people. And I think with Jimmy, you know the standards that you have to deliver, and he makes that very, very clear. And one thing we're not concerned about is a Jimmy Dean squad being organised and up for a game. So that's a nice kind of box to tick for us.
What's Quorn like? What's Quorn like? You know, because I mean, it's everybody just sees the name, and especially new to the league this season, you look at the name and you think, oh, okay, but that seems a weird name for a football club. I mean, do you know what
I
I mean?
didn't realise that was where Corn was actually named after. So I did Google it before I went, but allegedly that's no, look, it's a team that just outside of Loughborough. It's a nice little setup. They've got a plastic pitch and then a bar and a clubhouse down one side, and really nice little setup. But I think Jimmy did a bit of an interview afterwards with after the game, and made a bit of a point of saying a little piece on Corn as a club. And I think with all the respect in the world, a team that's probably full of players that have predominantly performed the league below, they absolutely walked step four and got promoted, and they're doing so well and play some really good football. I think, don't get me wrong, I think we didn't have a couple of goals disallowed, and we probably weren't at our game completely, but they gave us a really good game and a really good team. And I think it's testament to coming up into kind of 4-3 or maybe 3-2, and understanding if you have a good squad and you keep them together and you just work hard and you play good football. They put the ball on the floor. They've got some good players. Players like Zach Goodson, who's been around the leagues, and other players as well. And their player manager was very good in the middle of the park. So yeah, really impressed with them as a team. Really impressed with that, with the setup. And also, they're doing really well. They were third place before we played them, and their budgets probably won't be as big as ours, and their infrastructure's not, and the area they're from is not as big, but they're definitely performing to their cup. Yeah, doing themselves really proud.
And I take it your, you know, a Jimmy team as well always play to the final whistle. I mean, Liam, if you haven't seen it, the score is 3-1 on 85 minutes, and Sporting scored 86, 95, 97.
I did see it. And one of my mates is actually the manager of Corn, Ryan Bezick. And yeah, and like you just said, I mean, when I was assistant manager at Nuneaton, and he played for us when we were in the Conference North, and we got him from Solihull Moors, and he doesn't look the athlete that a lot of these players now look like, but his left foot is something else, and he's just such an intellectual footballer. And I think the reason that Corn have done so well over the last, and we've alluded to, they've done well over the last couple of years, is they've just got that spirit, and he's got a really good group, a real close-knit group. I know Bez would probably admit to this, but I think he's more of a man manager than a coach, and he's got good staff around him. But his dressing room is probably the most important thing. No cliques in it, and has to be harmonious. But one thing about him, he's a born winner, Bez. And to be fair, he must be about 83 now. So I mean, how he's still getting around the park, I really don't know. But yeah, they've done great, and I long may it continue. Just going back on what Lee said about when you had to make a change, Lee, last year. Elliot Sandy was So how did that, I mean, like you said, it unpopular opinion in some quarters, probably popular opinion in others, it's game of opinions, right? But how did you what obviously it's worked, but was it is it because I've never been in this position, is it a really, really difficult decision, especially when you've built a really good relationship with Elliot's a nice guy.
Yeah, look, Elliot's a lovely lad, and you can't help not liking him as a person. And I'm probably a little bit too soft in those elements, and you get attached to a manager and you work with him closely. And I think, look, whilst we're very kind of we're a private club, as in there's certain things, as you know, for football that you can go out and talk about, and those that you can't. And I think this is one that we can't do too much with. And but I think from that point of view, I think the way I've kind of explained it is you're in constant communication. You're observing every element of a manager's role, whether that be friendlies and training and transfers. And look, Elliot didn't commit a crime. Elliot didn't do anything that was going to harm his career moving forward. And it's great to see him at Rushden and doing well. And he will do well. He was a great player, and he's a good manager. And I think from that point of view, some scenarios just don't work out. And I think there's an element there where what we wanted to achieve wasn't being achieved. And I've had conversations with him at the time, and so did the chairman, and we did what was right for the club, which we'll always do. And some of those decisions will be unpopular, like players. You have a player that's been with you for years, and people say just keep signing him, and he's a legend. And but you've got to understand that there's lots of other things, and you know better than anybody. There's the only people that know what really goes on in a football club is those that are involved in the football club. So we'll always try and do the right thing. We try and it's about the club. It's not about me. It's not about Jimmy, it's not about the chairman, it's not about Elliot, it's about the football club. And every day we look at what's best for the football club and what we can do. And look, it's great now to sit top of the league and to be on a winning run, and knowing that some of the decisions you made might be right. But yeah, I think you have friends in football, as you say, and I've spoke to Elliot a few times after, and yeah, we wish him all the best, and he's welcome back at the club at any point.
I mean, Lee, tell us a little bit about Sporting, because it's agreed probably a lot of people don't know too much about the club itself. I mean, tell us a little bit about it, for the infrastructure of the club.
Yeah, I mean, we got involved about 4 or 5 years ago, and it was I've been involved in football full time, and as a coach, and as a manager and a player, and I can remember the chairman just saying, "Look, let's have a look at getting involved in football, and can we buy a football club?" And our chairman's very successful in business, and has far too much to do during the day without having a football club fall in his lap, but he took that on. And I think Spalding, when we spoke to them, was about to go under. It had a gentleman who was a chairman who's currently spending time in jail for fraud, and the club was an absolute mess. It had absolutely nothing. It was playing on a council pitch, and it owed a few quid to players and people associated with the club, which the chairman felt was important that we go in and pay back. And we ended up getting the club and kind of building a new business and creating something that was really ground zero. We didn't have a ball, a kit, and it was so bad it was good, I think, was the phrase that I used when I was trying to appease the chairman when he saw our first game of football, which was particularly rough. I remember him turning around to me saying, "What have you done?" And it was a joke, and it was in jest, but it was a lot to do. And to be fair, he's from day one got involved and pushed the club forward, but in the right way. Wants there to be infrastructure, wants there to be revenue generated, and he was a very big part of us getting a lease from the council for the grounds. We have a 25-year lease, and he's put probably 1.2, 1.3 million pounds into the club in the summer to enable us to upgrade the floodlights, put the 3G down, more cupboard standing and seating for the fans, and modernise the bar. But look, what we're not doing is we're not creating something that's unrealistic and unreasonable. We're creating something that can last a long time. And Spalding as a town, and I don't suppose anyone that's officially involved won't mind me saying it needs some help. It needs something to galvanise it. There's a big shopping facility outside of Spalding that pulls a lot of people out of the town centre, and we are right in the town centre. We are within a stone's throw of the bus station and the train station, and we're banging the town centre. And we took the ground on. We've done a lot of work with it, and we've got unbelievable group of volunteers that have been down there probably every day in the last 4 years, helping us make that facility better. And look, we need the right facility, we need the right manager. I think we've got that for step three at the moment, and hopefully the fruits of our labour are coming back. But the attendances were about, I don't know, 30, 40 when we joined. We're now just over 600, and our last two home games were, I think, 1,200 and 1,300, big games against Stamford, a local derby, and Harborough. But I think it shows if you put the hard work in, and it hasn't been an overnight. We're not throwing money at it blindly. Does Jimmy have a good budget? Yes, he has a good budget. We're not denying that. We're very competitive in our league, and we're lucky to have the opportunity to do that. But we're trying to do it in the right way. We've got a women's team. Our youth now train at the ground. We've got other areas as well we're looking to develop, but it's all about generating a club with infrastructure and that can support success on the pitch. But as we all know, with any football club, if you're winning games and cups and leagues, then more people will come if you're not. So if we can do both in tangent, and if we can Jimmy can keep winning, then we'll try and keep up with him off the pitch when we keep jumping the leagues.
It's quite funny because I know my sister used to live in Spalding until she moved to Norfolk, and now my other sister lives in, is it Louth?
Yes, yeah.
Not sure how close that is to Spalding. I have no idea, but
It's close, yeah. It's not too far away.
So I mean, with it though, so I mean, when you first joined them, was there any sort of youth and ladies teams in there, and more senior teams, or is that something that you and the chairman and the rest of the committee have actually sort of built up?
Yeah, no, look, we've got myself. So Andrew's our chairman. He runs. We've got his son Harley, who's involved in a lot of the infrastructure stuff. So he's got involved very, very heavily and very passionate about the facility. And it's great to see how, again, what he's doing and the work he's putting in, which is phenomenal. We had a very small youth setup, which was being kept alive by some volunteers, but they'd actually renamed themselves to distance themselves from the club. So it was quite nice to bring them back under the umbrella and call themselves Spalding United again. And but yeah, things like women's and a number of the teams didn't exist until it's an exciting proposition. The people in Spalding are excited, and we've had some big games, and hopefully the biggest games have come. So I think with that, we've had more people want to be involved, and our youth come to the games and their mascots and to see. And I think we've got mini soccer right up to under 18s midweek. So to see some of those junior teams turn up in their kits and walk out and kind of be galvanised is great to see. So I think Spalding just lacks facilities. You can't train in the winter in Spalding. There's no all weather pitches. So for us, it was the purists out there obviously would like you to play on a bowling green and keep it grass. But for us to have that facility bang in the town centre. And what it can do to develop the club as a whole, and scholarships will come in next year, and more junior teams will increase next year. So it just enables us to create a facility which is multi-use and is not just used once every 2 weeks, and let the football is benefiting from the surface. Jimmy wanted a certain type of surface, and the chairman allowed him to put irrigation in so we can keep it nice and wet and allow us to play the ball on the floor and not the ball around. And there's been no expense spared from that point of view, because we need a surface and a facility which is primarily there for the first team to develop and keep going at the leagues, but then others can enjoy that.
And you've got a really, really interesting start to March, haven't you? You've got two really big games at the beginning of March, and Needham Market away and Howell's Own at home.
Yeah, like again, I think sometimes you look for that game where you kind of want to go and be like, oh, I'm gonna relax a little bit because we're playing someone that's kind of threw the towel in or not involved. But I just think where the bottom of the table is and where the playoffs are and the teams in the league, there is generally never an easy game. We've played seasons before, with all due respects, where we knew we could turn up and just perform to a certain level and we'd be okay. But there's not really any games now that you go there and think that we're going to be okay and we're going to as good as we think we are. But that's probably Jimmy and the chairman installing that ethos into us, that you've got to work hard. You've got to. A chairman's very successful and got a big infrastructure in retail and warehousing and shops. And he'll always say there's people that work for the group that the football club is owned by that have to come in and do long shifts and work hard. And he expects that from the players as well. You need to come in, you need to put a shift in, and you need to wear the badge of pride, and you need to earn the right to win football. So we've got a very hard-working chairman and manager that have very similar standards in that aspect. So I think that bleeds through to the team and to everybody.
I mean, is the club, set up to go up to? I'm assuming you'd be going into Enterprise North as it stands.
Yeah, 100%. We are desperate to get to the National League. We need to get there sooner rather than later. And we're disappointed it took us 2 seasons instead of three to try and get out of it, but we're in a better place than we were last season. But yeah, absolutely, we did a lot of work in the summer to make sure that we had a good facility for step three, and we'll do all the work necessary in the summer to make sure that we meet those ground grading standards for the National League. But look, we've got some great teams in around us, like Boston and Kingsley and Peterborough Sports. We want to be in there with them. We want to be causing trouble and getting involved, and hopefully engaging more people to come through the gates in Spalding and get behind a story. And yeah, we just want to keep pushing. We're never satisfied with where we are. So for us, I think bare minimum for us is National League, but we understand it's not a God given right, and we've got to work really, really hard, and a bit of luck's got to go our way. But we'll keep trying until we get there.
Maybe you never know. Next year, if the cards fall rightly, you could have a nice Tuesday night trip all the way to South Shields.
And obviously we're near Peterborough, so seeing Peterborough Sports have to go to Merthyr probably give us a little bit of food for thought. But you look at some of those trips, they're certainly not as regionalised as we're currently. We always seem to be in Birmingham at the moment, so we're not around the corner, but a lot of our games are around there.
Well, we worked it out, just as a laugh, when Craig came on the show the other week. They played Torpoint, I think it was in the FA Cup, Merthyr, that all the way down in Cornwall, and of
Wow.
course then they played. They've got to go to South Shields, and we worked it out like the journey time between the two areas, and it was almost 10 hours between those 2 points, just crazy. And
Yeah.
the mental stuff to the travelling is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it does as well. And I think, like you say, it's at the moment we're part-time, we train twice a week, and we don't really travel anywhere on coach. A lot of lads drive, and I think clubs at every level going up to that league is great, but then you've got to look at more journeys on a coach and overnights, and that puts all sorts of pressures on. And look, the good thing is we've got a manager that's done the business in step two, and he's performed in step one, so we learn a lot of him, and like I say, he talks to the chairman on a regular basis, and I'm sure we'll be educating him on what he needs should he get promoted.
Probably one of the most determined managers I think I've ever spoken to.
Yeah, we love him to bits, and we don't just say that. We are very much kind of jeans and t-shirt kind of owner, kind of directors of football clubs, and our owners the same, and we like standing behind the goal, and we prefer to work with people we can have a beer with. And I think for Jimmy, he's phenomenal. He's such a good person. He's on it 24/7. He'll still be talking about that one goal where the left back didn't do what he should do when he's meets you for the next game, and he's. Yeah, he's brilliant, but we need that. We need intensity. We need experience. We need knowledge. We need enthusiasm. We need passion. And Jimmy's got that in leaps and bounds. And as you know, you can't not like the bloke as well when you meet him. He's very respectful, very knowledgeable. And like I say, at Corn, he took time to really praise their manager and the way they played football. And he met him in the bar afterwards, and he was very kind of like, I'm not patronising you. I just think you've done a great job, and just because you've been on the end of a bit of a collapse, that's not what you are as a person. And it was just really nice. It was really nice to see Jimmy taking the time to do that. And it was really nice to see that the manager kind of not looking up to him, but looking up to him and thanking him and kind of reciprocating. And I think in football it's a lot about egos, and everyone tries to impress everybody and tell how great you are, but sometimes it's a bit of human, a bit of integrity goes a long way. And I'm saying that because he's top of the league, but if he's not top of the league, I might not be as complimentary, but at the moment he's top of the league. He's a lovely guy, and long may he stay.
And of course, Jimmy was coming on tonight. He's had a few issues at home, so unfortunately, we send our love to him and the family as well tonight. But Liam, I mean yourself, I mean, tell us what you're up to.
Yeah, so I run the football education program at Rugby Town, Step Four Club, yeah, it's brilliant to be sort of back home, so to speak, at Butling Road. We've got a brilliant the facilities. I mean, the stadium, probably been there several times, haven't you? The stadium at Butling Road is a proper. It's probably it's a National League stadium. The pitch is great. We've got a training facility on site, so we've got a 9-a-side and a full size 3G on site, right next to the stadium. So we run our education program out of the stadium, and we've got approximately between 65 and 70 scholars at full time, between 16 to 19. We've just this season started the first full time female academy in Warwickshire, which it's been a tough one for me because it's took me 3 years to build it. So it was a long-term sort of project, and it was just knowing the right moment when to start it, really. And it's sort of paid off so far. We've doubled our numbers already for the August cohort in 2026, which is brilliant in terms of the females. And yeah, it's brilliant, and it's great to be back home at my first club when I was a kid, and I live down the road, and everything's just fell into place beautifully. Don't get me wrong, it's hard work because we've got a lot of players, and they're all at different levels. And the one thing about these programs is it's all right having, you think you go into it and just have elite players that are getting released from league clubs, but sort of we're finding out as the years go by that it's not always about that, and especially where people are at the moment, and young people today, they just want to go and enjoy themselves, most of them, so we're able to cater for a development squad, an under 18s youth team, a National League under 19 squad, and they're all at different levels. But we don't ostracize anybody that comes to the trials, because we believe there is a place for them at the club. Some are really, really good players that have got a future in semi-pro football. I mean, we've had in the last 8 years, we've had probably four or five gone on into the league, which is again, it's a great. We provide them with a really, really good foundation of learning. In fact, we had one. The last one was Callie Stewart, who we had him for 3 years. He went to Leamington. He signed for Shrewsbury last, I think, just Christmas before last. We've got Jay Rowe that's at Raith Rovers now in Scotland. So we've put Max Brogham's at Scunny. He's just gone to Leamington on loan. So it's been quite a healthy breeding ground so far in the first sort of eight or 9 years or so. It's brilliant. It's just great. It's just great going out on the grass every morning, every afternoon, every night. How I'm still married, I don't know, but I am. So I've got a brilliant sort of support network that allows me to go and do my thing, so to speak. It's just the best job in the world.
I mean, with the ladies part of it, did certain personnel also help you with that?
I did all the recruitment with a local lady that her daughter is a very, very good player, and she saw that the value it could bring to a lot of the young girls in our area. So she's helped me in terms of recruitment and getting our first batch in of 16 this year, and she helps me on match days, training days. I take all the training, which again has been different for me because I've gone from working with pros to semi-pros to young academy players, and now I'm working with females between the ages of 16 to 19. And to be honest with you, it's challenging sometimes, but it's also teaching me lots and lots of new skills in terms of how to deal with the female footballer day in, day out, which again, you've got to be spot on with everything you say. There's a lovely thing where when you're coaching the girls, that they hang on your every word. Young boy footballers, a lot of think they've already done it, they've already made it, they know best, etc., etc. Whereas the girls, they're really just living their dream at the moment because it's never really been, in the forefront, leaving school and going to do what the boys can do. So it's been brilliant. I mean, I've had a little bit of experience in the women's game with them, with Casey Stoney and people like that, at Man United. We've got quite a lot and help with Casey up there, and I've still do my one-to-ones. I've got my one-to-one business, and I've worked with the likes of Ella Toon, Molly Green, Millie Turner, Leo Garn, a few of them, and so I've dipped my toe into the female game over the last 7 or 8 years, so I've got a little bit of experience in it. But like I say, it's a breath of fresh air working with them, to be quite honest. And as I say, next year we've probably got 26, 27 girls full time on the program. So hopefully we can just keep going from strength to strength.
Casey will always be a gooner.
So again,
Casey will always be a gooner.
yeah. Well, it's funny, but yeah. We had a really good conversation about this because she's my youngest godmother, and I remember she came a couple of months when she's been back in England for the last couple of months. Obviously, she's a Canada manager now, but she's been seeing her mum, who's quite ill at the moment. We have lots and lots and lots of conversations about Arsenal and when they won the FA Cup with Arsenal and stuff like that. But She's one of the most, considering what she's achieved, obviously got United off and running and won the champ and got them into the WSL and then won the National League with San Diego Wave, got American Coach of the Year, and then obviously quite rightly so got the next job as a Canadian national women's team. But she's probably one of the most humblest, detailed and hardworking coaches that I've ever had the pleasure of working with. And in terms of, anybody that knows football, you want to look, young players want to look up at these senior ex-professionals and their coaches and be a role model. And I think really she's the consummate professional.
And I've met her a few times, of course, when she, I used to work in London Colney, when she used to pop into the shop and pick up whatever she was picking up or go to the post office. So I've met her a few times. So it's absolutely amazing, amazing lady. And the biggest mistake Arsenal Ladies Football Club ever made by not appointing her as the manager.
Yeah, we've discussed that as well on several occasions too. Yeah, but yeah, I'm sure Casey's time will come back in the UK. But at the moment, I know she's loving a new role with Canada. So let's just hope she succeeds there.
So, where do you see your role now, sort of like sort of expanding? Do you feel that that the academy side of this now is going to get bigger and bigger for rugby?
I think we probably hit the ceiling where we're at the moment, numbers wise. We've got the facility, a great facility, both obviously stadium for the games and the training facility. I think probably we're probably at the right amount of numbers to house them and to give them the best possible experience, because I just think that there's a lots of further education programs in the footballing world that just go numbers game, and I think that's probably the wrong way to look at it, because ultimately you've got to try and keep these young lads, young girls. Lots of these young lads we get are on second chance saloon that have been released, been at academies all the way through from 8 to 16, and then have been released. And we have to pick them up. But you've got to make their experience with us the best it could possibly be. And I think by just treating it as a numbers game, which 100% a lot of academies do, because I think it's a real quick buck and a real money earner, you must be mistaken, because it really isn't. And it's really, really hard work. And you want to really be, having the right amount of time spent with all of these young players. If you've got a good staff behind you, you're great. It's funny, Lee, I was going to say, you're playing Banbury Saturday, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Yeah, so my assistant, the carrying manager, is the Banbury manager, Calvin Langmead. And
Who was at Peterborough, wasn't he? So yeah, I
he
remember
was,
he was did really well at Kettering, I think, as a player. And
that's
yeah, very
great.
good.
He's a great guy. I was telling him today. I was telling him today. I said, oh, I won't give any of your secrets away. But they play a 4-4-2, and they play. No, I'm joking. Yeah. Two centre halves a week now, but yeah, I said I'd mention that tonight. But no, I just yeah, just back to the academy thing. I mean, we're very fortunate. We try and give these kids the best possible experience they can get. And I think by just treating it like a numbers game, Dave, you're not doing that. And we won't be going along those lines. Obviously, it's got to be sustainable, and obviously, it's got to. It's got to work financially, but at the moment we've got great backing from the club's chairman, great backing from the club, great backing from the education provider, Morden, who are based in Rotherham, and we're very, very fortunate. So long may it continue, I think. I hope.
Well, Craig's joined us from Merthyr, and you've got your own academy, mate, haven't you?
Yes, we have. Yeah, we had it years ago, and it kind of went due to a few reasons, but we set it back up. I believe this is the third season now, so it's a little bit different, the academy system in Wales. But yes, a third year of running it now, and it's going quite well at the moment, to be fair. So it's I don't know, it depends on how you look at it, whether it's results, whether it's players coming through, all those things. But we're at the moment we're kind of in the middle. We're doing a little bit of both at the moment. So, but it's a long process. There's no quick fix with it. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And another win.
2-0. Tough game. Obviously they're fighting for their lives, Peterborough Sports. And they were much improved from when we played them earlier in the season. So it was quite a tight affair first half. But a little bit of quality shone through then second half, and it finished 2-0. We could have scored a couple more. They had one or two chances. I think Cogs might have tipped it onto the bar, but yeah, I think it was certainly a fair result in the end.
What's this? I read as well. You were playing with 12 men, according to Phil Brown.
Phil Brown, I think he's had a bit of a head loss there, to be honest. I don't know why you get away with saying when he's managing a Hull in the Premier League, but he was certainly out of order with that comment. But as I've said, I think look, it's, after the game, emotions are high. You got a microphone checked in your face straight away, and you say things you probably on reflection wouldn't say. I don't know. He was very animated throughout the game and seemed to, right from the start, be onto the fourth official and the referee. I don't quite know why a lot of the time, to be honest. It was a red card, which, I mean, it's late. He's caught Lee, could have done some serious damage, and so I don't think he could really have too many complaints about that. And the ref was quick to pull out. He was right on the incident straight away. So I think he probably got that right. And then there was another poor challenge later on. The lad got booked. It could have been a red card, to be honest. A bit like the Dalot one on the weekend, a little bit higher than that, but that type of thing. But the ref booked him, so no problems from us. We haven't complained about that, but he took offence to that, and yeah, there was a few things. I don't know whether that was masking a few other things, but yeah, look, it's that's for him to worry about. And yeah, I certainly wish we could have had 12 men on. It would have been a lot easier. It wouldn't have been such a tight first half, but no, it's a good win.
We're talking about challenges. Did you see the challenge? We were talking about it earlier on, actually. I mean, a certain person that got badly challenged and it went straight back and kicked him in the
I have seen it. I think it's gone quite viral today, I think, hasn't it? Yeah.
Have you given him a call? What are you doing, son? Come on,
He
back up.
messaged me Saturday night. He messaged me Saturday night. He said, "Have a look at this. This is the sending off." But he didn't show me that challenge. He showed me the second yellow, which wasn't. It seems a bit harsh from what I've seen of it. But he hadn't sent me that challenge, so I picked up my phone late last night, and there was it had gone mad. There's all sorts of people commenting on it, and I think I saw Curtis Davis had commented on it today as well. But yeah, he's got that side to him, Rick. He has got that edge that you need to make it as a player. And I didn't see him put too many of those challenges in mind when he was with us. He didn't. He's worked hard on his discipline, to be fair. But look, I can kind of understand that frustration from him there, to be honest. I think if I felt I'd been wrong like that and someone's tried to do me, I'm probably launching him on myself. So, you can't do it. I know I'm not condoning it, but we've all been there in the heat of the moment and flown into one or two challenges that he shouldn't have. I think afterwards, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but
I
I think
must
he
have missed.
should.
I'll be honest. I must have missed that. So he got sent off then, did he? I didn't. I must have missed that. Got sent off yellow.
He got sent off a second yellow later on.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I saw someone moaning about him on there. I'm thinking, what are you moaning about? Yeah, but I didn't realise he got sent off. But I mean, Lewis though, two goals for him.
Look, as I've said it a number of times on this program, we've got a lot of quality in the side and some good technical players who can produce a bit of magic to open teams up. And we had Rick, obviously he's gone, but we've got Lewis Tramley, Kieran Evans, and a number of players who can produce a bit of magic at any moment. And at the moment, Lewis is flying again. But we could have had a few more. There's a few other players who could have got themselves on the score sheet this week. It was Lewis's turn last week. Coley's got a hat trick, so it just shows we've got a good spread of quality players who can get goals for us. Fortunately, because they're going to have to replace the goals that are now missing.
Lee was speaking earlier on, and he said one of his favourite places he goes with Spalding. He's Telford.
It's a setup. I didn't say anything like that.
Not like it's a lovely ground. It's a lovely place. I mean, the 3 miles they made us walk to the ground from the car park in the pouring down rain, and then back afterwards in the pouring down rain wasn't my favourite, I'll be honest. But in terms of grounds and the setup, it's lovely. It's just Yeah, honestly, I got 10,000 steps in on the way to and from the ground from the car park, to be honest.
Is that right that the big breaking news tonight is that the car park's closed at Merthyr on the 27th of January?
Well, to be honest, our car park is it's actually sold out anyways. They sell off the spaces, so yeah, I don't know what happens with them. And to be honest, I don't really care either, if truth be told, now after that.
Off to Southport.
Yeah, another long trip. God knows what time we'll be leaving Saturday morning for that. So yeah, like I said, it's I said last week on the trips home are good, a few beers, some music, and I haven't looked at what fixtures are on to watch on the bus home, but I don't mind the trips home. It's just, the trips up there can be long, and I know you're talking about the game, but you have those nerves and all that. It's just that anxious feeling when you're on a bus before a game, no matter who you're playing or where it is. So it's not my favourite part, the trips to the game, but yeah, look, afterwards we'll have a few beers and reflect back on the game, hopefully with another win. But it was a lot of tough games, so yeah, we'll see how it goes.
I'll just Google it here. It's a 4 hour trip. If
Yeah,
you
thanks. I haven't looked, to be honest, Dave. I
if
didn't really want to know, truth be told, mate. So
it's a
thanks for
4 hour
that.
trip though, but that's at this time of night, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's gonna be long, and obviously we'll have a few pickup points, so that'll delay us, and then we try to get a stop in on the way for the boys to get off and stretch their legs. But we do have food provided for the players on the bus. There is microwaves and ovens on the bus for them, so they can do that. And if we push for time, we won't stop, but we do try to also get a little, even if it's just a 10-15 minute stop to stretch legs before we go there.
You just got to keep away, on journeys like that, just try and keep away from golf courses.
Yeah, that's oh, the tires blowing out and things like that.
Yeah.
That's the issue with it. But yeah, we've been okay for a while, so touch wood, we'll be all right.
Well, I mean, I was looking at the table and it's still going really well, mate, isn't it? I mean, it's still, sort of. The belief from the fans and the belief from the players and the coaching team now must be sort of getting more and more every single week.
Yeah, I think, whatever level you're playing at, what are we, third in the league? I don't know if is it three or six off top? I'm not even sure what it is now, to be.
Yeah, so it's three off top. So
Three off top.
three off
So.
top. Southshire was 59, Flying 57, yourself was 56. Then there's a big gap to Kidderminster.
Yeah.
On 47, and even the last playoff place is 39.
Yeah, so the confidence that comes with winning football matches, no matter what level you're at, if you can go on a run and win football matches, that confidence comes with it, and naturally thoughts will wander to what the season could be. But at the same time, you take your eye off it, you lose a couple of games, and then you're thinking of what could have been. So yeah, look, it's lovely to think and that we're in that position, and we can start looking at those playoff places and what the permutations could be. But we've got Southport away this Saturday. We've got Telford at home Tuesday. Then another long trip to Darlington. And if you were to lose those three games within the space of the week, all of a sudden it's a disaster, and pressure's on again. And you're looking at it that way. So we won't get carried away. We're punching well above our weight in this league for the budget that we've got and the resources at our disposal. So we will literally take it a game at a time and see where that takes us. We did okay doing that way last year when we went 32 unbeaten. So if we could do that again this year, that would just be great. But yeah, look, there's no expectations, and we'll just take it as it comes.
You because yourself and Sporting would have been in separate leagues last year, wouldn't you? Yeah, South and Central. So, I mean, have you ever been to Merthyr?
Yeah,
No.
played there a few times. Yeah, played there a few times years ago, and it's that the hardest thing though is when you're trying to park the coach at Merthyr up
Yeah.
that hill, getting into the ground, isn't it? But
You know,
yeah, I remember.
Saturday, Peterborough stayed in a hotel just down the road, so I was getting to the ground. I was getting dropped off Saturday, and the bus was like doing a 15-point turn to get in, has gone up. I've then gone into the ground, gone in. It was chaos. It was like a mile traffic down the road because nobody can move. Gone into the ground, and 20 minutes later, I've come back out, and the bus is doing a 15-point turn, and I was like, "I'm sure they've done that." He said, "Yeah, they'd come up, drop this stuff off, then gone back for the players and the staff." So I was like, that driver obviously had no idea the first time he's come out.
Didn't have a clue,
It's
did he?
not, it's
Just
so
don't even,
difficult.
just yeah, any advice, just don't, just leave it. Just leave it.
Honestly.
Just, yeah. It's like Dover, isn't it? It's like Dover, it's one of them Dover as well, isn't it? But no, I'll say, I think the first time I played it, I think it was, God, it's gotta be probably 90 or 91, and it was a couple of years after they'd played Atalanta in the European
That's it.
Cup or something in the late 80s. And you could see it was that they'd had to put all the segregation in and all that sort of stuff. And then the next, I think I played there two or three times for Banbury. And then I think the next time I went, it was the first time I'd been, and they got the Astro down with them. I was number two at Stratford. And it just brought so many memories back, because I'd said before we came on air, I said it's one of the most raucous atmospheres in a non-league ground I've probably ever experienced, the times I played at Merthyr. Because the fans are, they're unique, aren't
Yes, very much so.
they? Yeah, unique. But do many travel to the games? I know it's obviously the distances are huge, but
It hasn't been bad, to be fair. I think a lot of sides come to us because it's a novelty thing for them, I think. I mean, a lot of them say, well, we're going into a different country to play. They get, it's
European
that.
time.
So I think a lot to that. In terms of our fans going away, we take very good numbers considering the size of us when we go away as well, to be fair. So I don't know. I think it's our first year in this league in the National North, and I think to a lot of supporters, it is a bit of a novelty for them, and I think they like coming there for that. And there's a big thing with the food that we sell. They all love the big cob and chips and curry and sausage in that. So I think a lot come for that. But yes, it's been decent. I mean, obviously Hereford is our
In
derby.
terms of your, obviously, in terms of your, you could probably use the phrase punching a bit, but obviously exceeded all expectation as to where you are at the minute. I mean, what have you lost? One in 15, one in 14 in the league, or something like one in,
I think it might be in
without tempting
15 now,
fate,
maybe.
obviously. But and I've looked at some of the games. I mean, that's in your first season, isn't it? That's like any level of football. If you whatever league you're in, one defeat. I mean, what are you, Lee? You're on similar, are you? One or two, what, a defeat in about 13, Lee, at Spalding?
Yeah, I think I say he's about 10 or 12 games without defeat. So it's but I think they say every league you talk about levels, don't you? I think when you step up and as owners of the club and look, only playing as high a step forward as a player, every step's a new level. And I think you look at we went to South Shields in the FA Cup and got absolutely torn apart, and you could see that the difference between that level and where we are is worlds apart. And I think from that point of view, it's just making sure that you need to find your feet. It's very arrogant to think you're just going to go up into a league and dominate. And we've learned that.
We when we got when was it, Leamington? It was the first year we won the Southern Prem by about 10 or 12 points, and then we went into the National North, and I think we finished about 11th the first season, and we finished above Stockport, and we were all sort of getting carried away with ourselves, thinking, "Yeah, we've cracked it, we've cracked it." Got relegated the next season. It's almost
That's
like that second season syndrome, where it is like you just said, Craig, the novelty of it. That goes for everybody, doesn't it? The club,
definitely.
players, the gaffer, you think it's that second season where you think, right, they know a little bit more about Merthyr Town now. And it'll be obviously, hope it'll just be interesting how.
It's interesting when we play sides the second time around now. I mean, our first game of the season was Southport at home. We were away to them this time. We've played a couple of teams twice now, but I mean, after 20 minutes, I remember sitting on the side of the field thinking, oh, we're in trouble here. The levels have gone up so much here. We managed to, we beat them 2-0 at the end with two quite late goals, but I just remember sitting after 20 minutes thinking, this is going to be a tough season because these are not fancy to finish high up. And we can't get near them. The physicality of it was totally different. We come from Southern League into the National League North, and even the refereeing is totally different. The amount, I guess, they let go in the North compared to what we used to in the South, that took some adjusting too. So it's going to be interesting when we play on Saturday and play sides for the second time to see how they deal with our threats and the way we play as well, to be honest. So yeah, the second season, I got no doubt. We're hoping we're not into the second season. We've gone up again, but being realistic, I mean, yeah, it's going to be very interesting, to be honest.
I've been trying to get him to say that now all season, and you've managed to get him to say that in the first time he's been on. One in 15 is the
There you go.
is what it is. Yeah, one in 15.
And we've got some tough games coming up as well now. So we've got Telford at home coming up, we've got Darlington away. And there's some real tough ones in Kidderminster away, not too far away. So yeah, some very tough games coming up. But like I say, when you're on that riding that wave and the confidence of everybody at the club is up, you've just got to go with it and
Enjoying it.
long may continue. So yeah, thoroughly enjoying it at the moment.
And live on Dizan as well, coming up as well.
Yeah, so I'm told. I think it's two games. They're on about Kidderminster, and they're on about us at home to Chester today as well. I've seen them
All right, okay,
being
good to
announced.
see
So
that.
I don't know how that's going to work, because we haven't got a gantry for them. So unless they're bringing their own gantry, I don't see how that's gonna work. So yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know how much I want us to be on there, to be honest. I don't want teams to see our players, if I'm being truthful. So yeah, I don't know about that.
As long as it's after the window's shut, you don't mind.
We'd be all right. That's a good point, actually. Yeah, we
Yeah.
should be okay.
Well, they both are as well, so that's quite
Yeah,
handy. Yeah,
there you go.
Kidderminster on the 10th of February, which is the one, so in 3 or 4 games' time. But I mean, Lee, have you been to Murphy yourself?
No, we actually on the way back from Corn, we looked at the Peterborough Sports Score and saw they got well and truly beat, even though Phil Brown blamed the referee. But and our chairman did say that could be our league next year, and it's 4 hours away, so it made a trip to Birmingham very appealing. So I hope for your sake you get promoted, and I hope for our travel budget that we get promoted. So no, but I think you're right there. I mean, we my When I was with my parents, our next door neighbour was from Merthyr, and I can remember having conversations with him over the fence, and he was telling me about all the big games he's gone to see and the European games, and for us, as well as little old Spalding with firm aspirations to get up there, you do look at teams like you say, like step two sides that you can go to, and teams up in the league, and Merthyr's kind of, like you say, we'll go to Wales and we'll stay overnight, and we'll play a team that's played some huge teams and has some huge events. So, but the distances do become very real when we're looking at step two north for us.
It's tough. I mean, everybody comes to us, tends to stay overnight, but we're only doing four overnight trips this season, because we just can't afford to do any more than that, to be honest. As much as we would like to do a few more, whereas, as I said, everybody comes to us because of the distance. Because yeah, we're staying overnight. So Peterborough stayed Saturday. We didn't do overnight, and we went to Peterborough. R4 up in the northeast. So it's South Shields, Spennymoor, Darlington, and forget the other one now off the top of my head. Scarborough, maybe. They're the only four night overnighters we're doing, whereas the others, like I say, they do a lot more than that. So it's just trying to do it within your budget, and all right, but it's so difficult trying to juggle all those things when you're not used to doing that. And you've also got top of the novelty of for the supporters and people coming to us, but it's also for our boys, they're not used to doing the overnight stays, so that becomes a bit of a novelty. And then trying to make that kind of the norm, when it's never going to be the norm, because you're not going to afford it for it to be the norm. You've got challenges that come with that as well, in terms of they're a bit excited on the Friday for the trip when you do it, and then you got to decide, like, are you going to get up early for breakfast? Is someone going to have a lay-in? What's their normal routines? Trying to keep it as normal as you can. All those things. So there's so many challenges with it, and with the travel, it is far more difficult than people realise.
For this season in your league, what's that one club that you've been to where you've kind of been really impressed with the setup and everything, where you've realized you're at a club that's doing it properly and destined for higher things?
Telford. I think Telford's ground and things, it was fantastic. You know, it really was. It was superb, and the pitch was excellent. But I think Macclesfield, when we went to Macclesfield earlier in the season, and I know they've just had that success now in the FA Cup, which has been brilliant to see. But yeah, I think we went there, and having seen making Macclesfield and that program and all that, to be there, the ground and the kind of the way they looked after us was absolutely superb. And you just think, this is a different level to what we used to be. It was fantastic. I think that would be the standout one, to be honest. It helped that we won as well, so on a long Tuesday night trip. So that definitely helped. But yeah, no, I was, you go into there and have the food, even the food they provided us with after, and they give us dessert, which is out of this world. And it was just fantastic. Yeah, it was just like a different level, to be honest.
As we said before, the amount of big sides that, from back in the day I can remember. I don't want to say everybody else because I don't want to put you in the same age bracket as me. But if you really look back in the day, yeah, as you said, Macclesfield's, Darlington's that are in that league is just incredible.
It is, but so, some of the people were in it, like say Phil Brown was there on Saturday, and to be honest, a lot of people didn't realise that Phil Brown was there. A lot of the players didn't realise, so we put a little bit up before the game about them in a pre-match meeting, and a few of the boys were saying, "I recognise him." I mean, they're quite young, our team, so I'm sure I know him. And obviously, the famous one is when he's doing his team talk on the pitch. So, and that some, a lot of people couldn't believe that he was there then managing a team. Obviously, Macclesfield. Wayne Rooney's brother, but Francis Jeffers was his assistant to John Rooney there. So that, that people are seeing that. And then I think it was Scarborough that ex-manager played Jonathan Greening was his manager there. And just things there, these big names now and people with a lot of experience at the top level. And to see us competing with that and like you say, with some of these huge, massive clubs is really is a joy to be part of.
No, absolutely. And a lot of positive feedback about Paul from last week as well, just to let you
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me. He's
know.
he's a very well-spoken guy, and he knows what he's talking about as well. To be fair to him.
Well, listen, guys, time's run away for us. I've really enjoyed tonight. I really have. It's been a fantastic night to have to chat with you all and to meet new friends and of course, old friends as well. So, a massive thank you to Liam, to Liam. Please send all our best wishes to Jimmy and family,
Will
and of
do.
course to Craig as well. And Craig, of course, will join us again next week. But until then, massive thank you for watching, and good night.